Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this edition of the podcast, Bubba Smith is the first pick, the NFL adds a seventh official, and the term hook 'em horns comes to life, and we learn about them all and more in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to your football history headlines for this March 14th edition. And we have a great episode for you today because we have some great headlines and we have some excellent birthdays of Hall of Famers that we're going to talk about too. And all combined, it's just a great show. So let's get right at it, and we'll start off on March 14th, 1967. The 1967 NFL Draft, Bubba Smith from Michigan State was the first pick by the Baltimore Colts. We discussed Mr. Smith just recently on his birthday in our February 28th post. There's a link to it on thepigskindispatch.com for the March 14th. Bubba ended up playing five seasons for the Colts until a knee injury prevented him from playing in the 1972 season. Smith went on to join the Oakland Raiders in 1973 after his recovery and played there for two more years before departing and joining the Houston Oilers for his final two NFL seasons. Bubba played in two Pro Bowls and even was an All-Pro one season and received a Super Bowl ring with the Colts for their victory in Super Bowl V per the Pro Football Reference. March 14, 1978, the NFL permanently adds a seventh official to the field on game days, the side judge. According to the operations.nfl.com website, it says that the SJ position was added in the late 1970s after the urging of legendary Hall of Fame coach Don Shula because he felt that the defensive backs were getting away with holding and interference of receivers regularly on Sundays downfield. The side judge, much like their counterpart on the opposite sideline, the field judge, are positioned generally about 20 yards downfield at the snap of the ball in the defensive secondary. The addition of the seventh person in stripes allows an official to focus on each of the five eligible receivers, the widest player on each side of the offensive line, and the three backfield players. Those are the ones that can catch the ball and are eligible to catch the ball. There's an official watching each of those now with the addition of that seventh official, the side judge. The side judge also normally has some pre-snap duties of counting the defense, controlling the sideline, and helping with the flow of getting the football to the umpire during dead balls and watching substitutions from their assigned sidelines. Now, how about let's talk about some Hall of Famers that have birthdays for this March 14th. Our first one took place in 1903, Superior, Nebraska. Nebraska's great tackle from the 1923 to the 1925 season, Ed Weir was born. The NFF says that Weir was a two-time All-America tackle from 1924 and 1925, and a two-time Nebraska football captain in also those same 2 years, and a charter member of the College Football Hall of Fame in 1951. He was so good that even Notre Dame's head coach Newt Rockne said that he was the best tackle that Rockne ever saw play football. In fact, in the 1923 season, when the legendary Four Horsemen were juniors, the Huskers, led by our man Ed, knocked off the Irish. 2 years later, Weir and company defeated Illinois when Red Grange was in his senior season with the Illini. He played professional with the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets from 1926 through 1928. March 14, 1936, St. Cole, Texas. Texas Christian University's outstanding halfback Jim Swink arrived into this life. The 2015 winter edition of the TCU magazine states that Jim's running style, especially in open field, made him one of the most acclaimed halfbacks in the Southwest Conference history and helped the Horned Frogs to win the SWC crown in 1955 and back-to-back Cotton Bowl appearances in 56 and 57 under Coach Ape Martin. The article goes on to say that Swank had some very colorful nicknames, such as Old Swivel Hips and the Rusk Rambler, in admiration of his signature shifting running style that made him so unique. Now let me tell you a little story about Jim Swank. And this is really interesting because you've all heard for the University of Texas the term hook 'em horns. Well, how did that expression come about? Well, it was before a November 12, 1955 game where TCU, ranked 8th in the nation, was set to battle with the Longhorns. Texas students, fearing Jim Swank's elusive running style, came up with an inspirational slogan to motivate and illustrate their desire for what they wanted their defense to do. It was Hook 'em Horns. A quote from Mr. Swank was, "They had a guy in their student body that knew our team and spread the word that they needed to stop me from running," Swink told the TCU magazine in a 2006 interview. "The Texas players obviously heard about how strong a team we had too. So they came up with the hook 'em because they wanted to catch me, trip me up, and slow me down." And that game was the first time that they used that term. Other than the legacy of that team slogan of Hook 'em Horns still carries, it was not all in for the case of the 1955 game against the Horned Frogs, though. Jim Swank had one of his best games of his collegiate career as he pounded a turf for 235 yards on 15 carries for a 15.7-yard average and scored a school record 26 points in the game. TCU dominated Texas on that Saturday by the score of 47-20. The National Football Foundation's website bio on Swank tells us that Jim Swank was the nation's leading scorer and second leading ground gainer as a junior in 1955. He totaled 125 points that year, in addition to rushing for 1,283 net yards, a figure which set a record in the TCU record books. Jim was a two-time All-American selection and ended up second to Howard Cassidy of Ohio State in the Heisman Trophy voting in 55. Jim Swank received the great honor of being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1980. So, the next time you hear on TV or at a ball game or wherever you're watching a game, you hear a Texas fan say, "Hook 'em horns," well, you just remember the TCU Horned Frog product, Jim Swank. That's who they were talking about originally. Great story there. March 14th, 1943, Dayton, Ohio. Charlie Green, the crafty quarterback of Wittenberg University in Ohio, was born. The footballfoundation.org website says that Charlie was Wittenberg's starting quarterback from 1962 to 1964 and led his school to a 25-0-1 record and three championships in the Ohio Athletic Conference. He was awfully fondly referred to as Chuck and Charlie as he finished his college career with 5,575 passing yards and 61 touchdown passes. The National Football Foundation voters selected Charlie Green to be placed into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2002. Charlie played at the professional level for four seasons with the Boston Patriots and the Oakland Raiders in the AFL. Our final birthday comes on March 14, 1978, Lynchburg, Virginia. Wisconsin's bruising back from the 1996 through 99 season, Ron Dayne was born. Had the NFF's bio on Ron states that he won the 1999 Heisman Trophy in a landslide after surpassing the 2,000-yard mark for the second time in his career. Dayne also received the accolades of being a three-time recipient of the honor of being a first-team All-American. Ron is the NCAA leader for career rushing yards and is the first to go over 7,000 yards in a career with 7,125 yards. Ron Dayne's collegiate gridiron legacy was placed in the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2013. Ron was picked in the first round of the 2000 NFL Draft by the New York Giants. He played seven seasons in the league with the Giants, Broncos, and Texans. He even helped New York to a 2001 Super Bowl appearance. We really appreciate you joining us once again on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, and we hope you join us each and every day, so hit that subscribe or that follow button on your podcast player, and if you're using Apple, please give us a 5-star rating so we can move up in those rankings so even more people can see us and enjoy the great news that you're hearing each and every day. You can find us on the sportshistorynetwork.com, the headquarters for sports yesteryear, where you'll see us in a couple dozen different podcasts and great podcast hosts. telling you all about different sports from around the world's history and going all the way back in time for history too. You can find them just about everything. And you can go to our main station, thepigskindispatch.com, where you'll see all of our podcasts on pigskindispatch.com/podcasts. And you'll also see all the great articles we have in history and always something new coming up and all the positive people about football. That's what we're really all about. We want to bring positive preservation of football for you, our listeners, and save it for future generations. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.